Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Shout out to Billy Richmond, man. Doing it big in Memphis. 3 locations for the Wing Guru. And for the month of September, they got a beautiful special with the Can't Catch Cow flavor over at the Wing Guru. We know those are the best. They're certainly the fastest, right? I mean, that's what you're going to get. $10.99 Can't Catch Cow special with seasoned fry or okra. But you got to order the Can't Catch Cow. You won't regret it. Wing Guru, best wings in Memphis.
Yep, 22 of them things now that we've got Can't Catch Cow. We're 21 flavors. We've upped it. Now, I imagine Billy's going to continue to grow. Now, remember, too, one of those, the Triple J, which I also endorse. I'm a Nashville hot man, but I've had the Triple J for our man, Jaren Jackson Jr. That Jaren Jackson Jr. inspired flavor, and it's fantastic as well. You really can't go wrong with any one of the 22. Even John's Garlic Sriracha, I find myself liking. And so find out what your favorite is. Do not sleep on Billy's Burger. It's fantastic. So if you're in the mood for a fantastic gourmet burger, you can get that too from the Wing Guru. All the options are great. And again, that okra that Billy's giving you in the deal here, it's really good as well. When you see Billy Richmond, yeah, it's all good. You tell him that Jason and John sent you.
Adam Turnoff from Right Angle Sports is going to join us at 1:25. We did not get a chance to catch up with him last week, but we will be catching up with him shortly today as we kick off, Jason. Kick off tonight in the NFL. It will be Patrick Mahomes hosting the Lamar Jackson-led Baltimore Ravens. So, listen, it's a rematch from the AFC Championship game. And Lamar said, F throwing. If I felt today, like if I felt like back then how I feel today, it would have been a different outcome in terms of his physical feeling and what he wants to do tonight. So it sounds like it's going to be a very opposite game plan for Baltimore tonight against Kansas City than it was in the opener, which would make sense because that was an awful game plan in that game.
It was pathetic. You know, you didn't do what you would have gotten you to the party.
You're not going to out Mahomes.
Gotten
Mahomes.
You to the dance.
Right. And that's just obvious.
But you know? I've heard some people discuss that game. We've always chalked it up to bad game plan. How much of that was Lamar, you know, maybe going against the game plan and trying to do too much, changing it, audibling to some passes in those instances as opposed to sticking with the run first? I think some of it, he may be to blame for a little bit more of it than we've technically given credit. I think we've put that essentially on that offensive coordinator. But I think there may be a little combination of both there. Either way, it's got to be. I mean, the game plan should be simple. Keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. You do that with a run game. You know that. How many times have we seen it here? 49ers saw it. You don't give it to them in overtime. Like, what are we talking about here? And so, yes, a team that's been run first and, you know, one of the best run offenses is in the league, and you've added Derrick Henry. I know, John, you've mentioned, and this seems like it's going to be very important, their offensive line coming to this season. Some question marks there, some health issues. But,
yeah.
You know, that should be a run-first team, and that should always be the game plan against a Patrick Mahomes-led team. You know,
yeah, so, I mean, I think...
Staying on the field.
To that question about...
Three-point underdogs, right?
Yeah, it's 2.5 even now.
So we're basically saying it's even. This is just on field.
I mean, yeah.
That's what you've taught me. Yes,
pickle. Yeah.
Okay.
Some, you know, in the NFL, some people, not to pick nits, but some people will say that home field is not 2.5 anymore. Some people will say it's more like 1.5. But I do think at Arrowhead it is probably your standard 2.5. So, you know, basically a pick 'em on a neutral, I'll buy that.
Now, be ready for the offense to be a lot better. The defense, and I think I heard you talking about this with either Jeffrey or Jeff, it's going to drop down.
Correct.
But you're not going to sorry with Chris Jones up front.
No, you won't.
Like, it's still going to be a and that's what's going to give them a great chance to go back out here and do this again.
But,
like, this offense is not going to be a liability like it was at times last year because of the receiving situation. You see what they're saying about Xavier Worthy, that this dude's going to be
– Yeah.
He's going to amaze some folks to the point that you just see it's not even like – We're not talking about just speed, fastest receiver we've ever seen in combine. He's running all the routes.
That's true.
He's about to be Tyreek Hill in that offense out of here.
But, you know, what nobody talks about that playoff run last year for Kansas City.
Mahomes was not good.
He was not.
That's what I'm saying. Defense was their MVP.
He was carried.
Like I said, I told you the defense should have been the MVP.
Absolutely.
They will be a lot better. Do you think they're going to be bad for two straight years? They're not. Oh, did you see, too, they went back and got Juju, who was actually good for them at the end of 2 years ago.
He drew the holding penalty.
Exactly. Went back, got him. We'll see with Rice. You know, his maturity level, you got to question with some of the off-the-field stuff. But they liked him, obviously, into last year. But Xavier Worthy is the one. Anyway, I don't think their defense is going to fall off the map. They're going to be right there and in position to repeat again. And if the Baltimores are not ready with a game plan or, you know, Josh Allen doesn't have enough because he's trying to do it all on his own now, or Aaron Rodgers ain't so back from that Achilles. But they're gonna roll again. You know, Cincinnati just doesn't have. You can't just pencil them in there either without a run game.
Yeah,
without an explosive, you know, Joe Mixon type in the back.
I know you're.
So I've got my question marks on them as well.
You're making fun of me now because you're saying I'm the Undertaker, but I do like the under in this one for sure. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the Detroit game last year. I was on the over; it was like 52, and Tony dropped a bunch of passes. Like, it just takes these teams a little longer to adjust to the regular season, especially because the Ravens, none of the Ravens at all played in the preseason. None of them. Like, Lamar got no reps. Derrick Henry got no reps. None of the starting receivers got any reps. Our injuries didn't get any reps. You know, Mahomes and them actually got a few. They got a few drives.
Is Zay the number one receiver?
I don't think they really have.
Is it him and Bateman or 1-2?
Yeah, I mean,
is there even a guy I'm leaving out besides Mark?
It's like 1A, 1B.
There's not another receiver in that mix? I don't like it if that's it.
Yeah, I mean, Zay is technically your number one, but he's not really a number one when you think about.
No, he'd be a great two.
He's like a Z, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what he is. But it's Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar.
Oh, I forgot about old Aguilar.
Yeah, so that's kind of their – I mean, he is technically their one, but he's really built more like a slot.
I mean, Mark Andrews is still the one.
Yeah, exactly.
And that crew.
Exactly. And maybe they do some two tight end sets with Likely.
Yeah, I'd still would have liked maybe a little more money spent on a one there as opposed to you know, going out and getting – you know, spending it on a Derrick Henry.
Their defensive line is, you know, there were some losses in this defense. I mean, there just was. And the offensive line is definitely, you know, with the right guard, the right tackle, I mean, there's some new faces. And I'm not exactly sure, you know. I mean, they have two running backs tonight, Derrick Henry and Justice Hill. They have two running backs who are out. You know, you just don't, I don't know. I'm not really sold on the Ravens this year. I mean, Harbaugh and Lamar will have them competitive. We know that, but
Who are you most sold on in terms of second in the AFC? Cincy? Because I tell you,
what if I told you
the shaky?
What if I told you I was more sold on the Texans?
Yeah, you're going. Y'all are going too far, too early.
I think I might be, bro. I think CJ's number two right now.
They're going to have, I still think, enough of a time just getting out of the South. Like, I don't think it's just so done that you can pin them in as
I mean,
the AFC South
you know,
champion.
Are you buying New York all the way? I can't say I'm all the way in on New York right now. I mean, I get it. You know, airing a full, healthy season. But I'm just not sure that coaching staff is very good. That gives me pause.
Hackett, you've seen Hackett be good with Aaron.
That's true. I mean, I mean it has happened before, you know, but that was like LaFleur, too. And you have Salah, who is like, I don't know about you, but he just has not impressed me the last few years.
I'm not impressed with Salah has anything to do with other than defense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the defense should be good.
Right. No, defense should be great.
If I got Hackett and Aaron taking care of business, then that should be solid.
I mean, I think the Bengals are probably, if you're just trying not to be controversial, you do have to put them second, you know, but you've been burned so many times by Joe Burrow's injuries.
What about the Dolphins?
I like them.
You like them offensively.
I like them more maybe than even a year ago, but it's that defense is just so old and fragile.
Well, and you lost the big Wilkins kid in the middle of
Wilkins
it.
Wilkins is gone.
Key to it.
You know, I mean, they'll definitely – look, here's the thing with them. If they find a way to get home field in the postseason, they'll be a real threat. But if they have to go somewhere outdoors,
I agree, they're not a threat.
They're just not going to be effective. I mean, we saw that. Now, that was the coldest game ever, but still, two was different with weather. So I think that's, you know, I think that is definitely the thing you have to keep in mind with them. But I like McDaniel a lot. I think that's definitely a team that you'll watch, you know, this season and maybe could be right back. I actually have them. I have a six-team parlay. I'll tell you about it.
I thought you advised not to do parlays.
It's a season-long one.
Oh, it's just for a little fun.
Divisions.
I see.
You ready for this? I didn't do every division, but I did the division winner of the NFC East, Philly. Now, you know how I stand on that.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah.
AFC North, I do have Cincinnati.
I knew it.
AFC West, I do have Kansas City.
Of course you do.
NFC North, I do have Detroit.
Mm-hmm. That's my pick.
AFC East, I have the Dolphins. And then AFC South, this will be the one that you disagree with vehemently and the one that you think will kill the parlay. I have the Jags.
Oh, okay.
I'm buying.
That's better than picking the Colts.
I'm buying Doug Peterson and a healthy Trevor Lawrence
in
that division.
Yeah, well, then don't try to sell me C.J. Stroud in Houston as the second-best team in the AFC. Then.
No, I mean.
Now that you've showed us that.
I can't say Jags are two in terms of trusting. I'm gambling there. But I do think we've seen how good that can look when Trevor Lawrence is healthy. And with Doug Peterson, 2 years ago.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be back. I think actually maybe the year we thought they were going to have last year
right.
is what they do this year.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence couldn't move last year. I mean, he had the shoulder thing going on, and then he never quite – I think Kirk got hurt. So, you know, those guys live next to each other. So it's very important that they're both healthy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On the Cordova and the Cordova Country Club.
Cordova Club.
So, listen, in terms of tonight, no action tonight. I know that's kind of crazy. You would expect to always have
you'll
action.
Do something before it's Sunday. You can't help yourself.
I'll probably do the under if I do anything, which is really exciting. You got to love
no,
unders.
No, y'all told me getting into this under the undertaking's not fun.
No, it's the worst. It's the absolute worst. Like, for example, I had the under second half of the Florida State game, and it was 24.5. It was 21 points scored in the second half when the Boston College running back rumbled, bumbled, stumbled all the way down to the 5 at the 2-minute warning, right? And you're like, Bill, show some class. You're an NFL guy. Don't be trying to run this in. You don't have to do it. You've embarrassed Mike Norvell and his team at home already.
College, you got to do it. You got to run it up.
But they did.
It's college.
They kneeled it.
No.
They did. They kneeled it.
That's too much NFL in him.
So here's the cool thing. It's kind of just, well, it's not cool. It's interesting. During the 2-minute warning, your boys at FanDuel were dealing minus 18.5 while the game was 15, right? So as the, you know, as the commercials were running, you could have bet plus 18, minus 18.5. Are the Boston College Golden Eagles going to run this in after the 2-minute warning, or are they going to kneel?
Wow.
So, and it was here's what people theorize, that FanDuel had an employee at the game, right? And they see, if you go back and watch it, the formation was very strange. It was not a typical victory formation because the quarterback lined up in the shotgun, right? He didn't take the snap under center and kneel it. He was lined up in the shotgun. So the employee thinks they're in the shotgun, they're going to try to score this, right? And so they set the number 18.5, only, of course, to see them kneel it at the end.
Wow.
So if you were watching it, you would have noticed, you know, that this is a janky-ass victory formation. You would have thought they were going to try to score it if you're looking from a distance. You know what I'm saying? So, it's just the little intricacies there, field level.
Does FanDuel have someone in every game?
I think maybe the standalone games, they probably do. Yeah, that was a standalone Monday night game on Labor Day. So I assume they definitely had somebody there, yeah.
Interesting.
And I'm assuming the same for, you know, a lot of places. But, you know, yeah, definitely. It's technically called court siding is what it's called. And it's basically like you're seeing things before the television broadcast sees them. And so you text, hey, they're in this, they're trying to score. So, you know, you don't want to be, you don't want to be, you know, at 14 or 15. you know, when you can maybe get action on whether or not they score.
Interesting.
You know, you're just trying to get ahead. So that's what they call it, though.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to see during the break if I can show you the video of the formation, maybe if you would have thought the same thing. But, no, Bill O'Brien, class. Unders in college football have been money, 57-43 this year to the under. And the theory is that it is helmet communication-based, that these teams are getting their calls in mm-hmm. offensively, and the defense is waiting until the 15. Silverfield mentioned this, that team defenses are waiting until that cuts off to show what they're doing defensively. And that's jumbling up. Then you got to take that 15 seconds to, okay, change your check down, right. change everything. So it's just taking more time off the clock on top of no longer stopping for first downs. So, yeah. That's what goes on. That's what goes on into it.
I mean, it's a full time job to be able to pay attention to all that.
It's hard.
And that to me would be stressful.
You got
to
know.
And stress would then take fun out.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I would going back to a theme of the day. Is it worth it?
Let me ask myself. Put that thing down, flip it, and reverse it for that gas tank. Now, Calkins got 200 from FanDuel. Where's your? You got that 200 yet?
I'm not sure that was accurate. I think that's money that he's always had in there.
Got it.
Otherwise, FanDuel, shorted a few of us, of its people.
But you do a great job for FanDuel. You really do. You do a great job for them. And you have for a long time. So hopefully we can see you on there this year. You know, you have a little fun. What do you call it? Tank of gas.
Well, yes.
Love it.
It's a very
fun. I love it.
Don't steal anything else from me.
I can't.
My home story.
That's right.
And my $2 line, you know, turn a couple dollars into a tank.
Turn a couple dollars into a tank of gas.
We're thinking about trademarking that.
I like
it. So if you'll just stay off of it.
Nothing for our, you know, our EV drivers, of course. I don't know what that would mean for them.
The EV drivers?
You're not quite there yet.
No, not quite there yet.
Yeah, you gotta figure that out. You gotta kind of modernize that. I get it. When you came up with it in 2020, maybe that wasn't the wave as much.
You're saying I need to evolve.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not just about the gas. But I know how you Americans get about your gasoline, man. Y'all get protective over that. So,
well, let's get John a sports book, you know, so he could do it his way, you know?
If I were in sales.
Maybe we can do that.
If I were in sales, it'd be done.
Seem to embarrass him a little bit.
No, that's the thing. It's like when I don't have mine to focus on, I get to focus on others. I get to be like an ombudsman.
Yes.
You know, I'm like your live ombudsman.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm basically married.
No, I appreciate it.
Monitoring, you know, Dinger Tuesdays have come and gone.
I'm gonna think about updating.
Yeah, like I mean, again, tank of gas is fine, but you know, we could be moving more, going away from fossil fuels. You know, you do have to keep that in mind.
Keep it light.
They are not opening that Ford EV factory until 2027. People aren't using it like we thought, John.
Yeah, I know.
They are
using
tanks of gas.
I mean, it is the most amazing damn thing how attached we are to petroleum.
Hell yeah.
I mean, we just we need it. We got to smell it.
Yeah, fill it up.
You know? I mean, I don't know. It's one of those American things. I can't explain it.
It's American. Say, fill her up.
It's like gas tank. It's even invaded our sports book advertisements.
That's right.
Our attachment and dependency on fuel. We need fuel. but again, that's more of a philosophical discussion, and we won't be able to have this one with our Canadian friend Adam Chernoff because he's Canadian. He doesn't quite get it.
Right.
He doesn't understand it. But yeah, in terms of tonight, listen. I don't know what the record is for Super Bowl winners off in their first game. You do have a lot of things going on here. I had the numbers. Like, Mahomes is 24-8-3, I want to say, as a 3-point favorite or less.
Wow.
So, but Lamar, I believe, is 12-4-1 as a dog. So, you have sort of these two, you know, trends. I'll get the exact numbers. But you have these two sort of trends that are colliding here.
What about the Swift trend?
I don't know about that one.
I'm guessing she's there tonight.
Is she?
The Swift trend that was literally Travis going off in every game that she attended.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen, the NFL has been doing all this preview video, and she's a huge part of all their preview stuff. So whether it's at this first one or down the road, Taylor Swift going to be a big part of the NFL in 2024. They're not letting that go.
Lamar is 12-1-1 against the spread as an underdog. He's 10-4 straight up.
That's impressive.
Mahomes is 24-8-1 against the spread when minus three or shorter, but that does include when he is priced as a dog, which kind of changes that stat, in my opinion. But he is 4-1 straight up against Lamar. Pat versus Lamar, he's 4-1. And the only time that Mahomes lost to Lamar, a fumble trying to set up a game-winning field goal is what happened in that loss. So they were driving. They had a chance. Although the Chiefs have gotten lucky against the Ravens as well in the past in these games. I mean, that's the part of it. You know, somebody gets lucky, somebody gets unlucky. It happens quite a bit. You can't just ignore the other times that the other team got lucky, because in that four games, there's been a lot of it for the Chiefs. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And one team's luck does not weigh more than the other. Anyway, it's a great opener. The only kind of opener, honestly, that would have felt maybe better would have been Mahomes versus C.J. Stroud. That's the only thing I really feel like they could have been better in terms of just like how excited am I for this game. I think Texans Chiefs, and I do think they play this year though. By the way, Texans Chiefs, I want to say they do, but it's not till later in the season. Yeah, it's December 21st. So that could have been the opener. We could have switched these two.
Oh, I mean, he's a two-time MVP.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not terrible.
No, it's not terrible.
But I'm just saying in terms of just like the sheer, like, our, you know, because here's what you can bill, right? Because Lamar's never beaten Mahomes in playoffs. You know, I don't know if he ever will. But you can bill with the Texans Chiefs, like, present meets the future. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what people – that game would do crazy ratings. This one will do – I mean, all of them are going to do crazy ratings. I don't know if will people with DirecTV be able to watch this game tonight? They will not. Will they? Is it on ESPN?
Tonight's an ESPN game?
I think it has to be.
Or is that Monday night?
Channel 5. It's on NBC, I believe.
Yeah, NBC. Okay, they will be able to watch this.
We're good tonight.
All right. Whew.
Yeah.
And Diana Rossini is reporting that as of now, Taylor Swift is expected to be there. And people are literally saying, not this again. Not another whole year of this.
It is, because I watched the Today Show this morning on NBC. They had three people at the stadium, including a person from the Today Show, and they already started putting that out there. They want ratings tonight, boys. Yeah. NFL on NBC tonight.
Season 2, Taylor's Version, begins in earnest tonight.
My God.
Some fans have tweeted. Yeah, I believe it. I mean, she's going to, I would think she's going to be there. It's about to end this thing. I mean, this is the night they unveil the Super Bowl, you know. Banner and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Get
rings and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
She'll be there. There's no way she's sitting this one out.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, good stuff. Hey, we're going to talk to Adam Chernoff when we get back, get his thoughts on week one, some sides, the game tonight, going back and forth, some other teams he likes, some coaching changes that we'll see in full effect in week one. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
If your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It is indeed upon us. Week one. The NFL regular season is here.
Which means our regular visits with the best in the business, Adam Chernoff from Right Angle Sports, who is, as always, had a very busy week one, kind enough to carve some time out for us today. Adam, welcome to the regular season, my friend.
The intro music means so much more when there's real football on
That's
TV.
Right.
I'm getting awfully excited sitting over here.
That's right. There's a process. You know, we have you, you know, after, you know, right before the draft. Then we have you kind of coming into to training camp. And we have you in the preseason. But now it's the real thing. And what a game we have to kick us off. It's been quite interesting, Adam, to see the market, and I think the market is sort of, you know, it almost mirrors, you know, our thoughts, and I've certainly what I've seen from you and your thoughts in terms of back and forth. You want to like the Chiefs, but man, there really might be some reasons here to take Baltimore. As of right now, at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, a few hours before the game, what's your latest feel for Chiefs-Ravens tonight?
My latest feel is one of complete confliction, as I can see reasons to look at both sides in this game. You can look at Kansas City and say they're a half point or a 1 point favorite on a neutral, and that is just not enough against any team in the NFL. It's the best offensive and defensive roster combined we've seen in the Mahomes-Reed era, and they're getting a Ravens team that is going through a ton of changes on the defensive side, no longer with Mike McDonald. And on the offensive line, they unfortunately, through a bit of a tragedy, lost their offensive line coach a couple weeks ago, but they also are dealing with a ton of changes on the offensive line too. So there's two massive negatives for Baltimore, and there's a lot of positives for Kansas City. So it's easy to make the case for them at such a short price. But then also, I could look at Baltimore and make a pretty strong argument saying that last year in the AFC Championship game, it was as bad of an offensive game plan Todd Monken has ever put forth in his short NFL career. It's the worst coaching performance we've seen from Harbaugh. And they've had 4 months now to make things right and still have a very clear advantage running the football, utilizing multiple tight ends on the field to attack the biggest weakness of this Chiefs defense. And so it is a very tough game to handicap side and total. Unfortunately, not one that is opening the season with a bet for me personally. So that's a very conflicting game.
Well, that's no fun. All right. That is no fun.
It's not.
That's no way to start your NFL season by passing on the opener, but I certainly understand.
Can I give you a prop to make up for it?
Sure. We will. It is game day. We'll take a prop.
Isaiah Pacheco, anytime touchdown is plus 110. Last year, he was closing consistently minus 120, minus 130. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not going to be active in this game. They have Steele, who's a backup running back, but he's been labeled as the potential third down back with P. Ryan, so there's some changes. Pacheco's absolutely the lead guy, and so any touches inside the five running back-wise will go to him. That price is just inflated relative to what he was last year.
Okay.
That's a quick one and an easy one for tonight that you can think about.
Like it, Isaiah Pacheco, anytime touchdown. Let me ask you this, in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs, they got better offensively. They got worse defensively. I think that's sort of the agreed upon consensus of the two sides. And I'm going to try to ask this in the English language. But did they get better offensively or worse defensively in terms of where's the more drastic difference? Better offensively, worse defensively?
I would have to disagree with that. I don't think they got worse defensively.
Okay.
I think they got better, because the only thing you can point at and say that they got worse is losing Legarius Sneed,
right?
But they had plenty of depth at that position and in the secondary. So McDuffie, Reed, Cook, Williams, Connor, that's still an elite secondary in the NFL. And you're looking at other guys in the front. There's eight guys on this team that have played at least 3 years in this system, which was top five wire to wire last year. So I don't agree they got worse defensively.
Okay.
And that's how I would answer that one.
Yeah, interesting. And it almost makes me want to bet Chiefs minus 145, I'll be honest.
Well, it really does. I hear you. And then you look at Baltimore, it's tough. It's a really tough game to start.
Yeah.
In terms of the rest of the week, Adam, and we can go all the way through it, but I want to know your strongest convictions, and maybe it's something that's a little bit off the map. I know John usually goes through your releases. I'll leave that to him. But just something in terms of you're really feeling strong about, whether, you know, maybe putting us on a team we're not as familiar with.
I don't want to talk about anything that's moved off of the prices that we might have released at. We can go through the releases, but I don't want to give a strongest conviction now to any
sure.
of those. I'll give you something that's available right now to bet. And if any game on the board right now, my strongest conviction would be backing the New York Giants at home +1.5. And there are some +2s available, but I like the Giants at +1.5. A couple things have got me over to the Giants. The biggest one is that Brian Daboll announced earlier this week he is going to take over play calling duties. And I like the fact that you're getting a head coach who's well respected as an offensive mind.
Yep.
on the hot seat with his back up against the wall, saying like, okay, this is all on me now, taking over the offensive play calling duties. And he's had a lot of success throughout his career as an offensive coordinator against Brian Flores, 6-0 in games where he's faced Flores. And that wasn't a 6-0 that was padded by big Josh Allen games. It was really relying on the run game in Buffalo before Josh Allen turned the corner as a passer in those games against Flores-led defenses. And so there's a history there that I like too. And the last thing I would say is I think the Giants in general are a little bit undervalued just because of what we saw in the preseason with that bad interception for Jones. That's such a tough game going into Houston against starters in the preseason in your first game back off of injury. All quarterbacks are going to look bad going into Houston. So I think you're against Minnesota. The Giants offense is going to look a lot better than expected. I just like betting into that day ball angle here, getting a point and a half.
Yeah, I respect
that. No, I like that.
I respect that. We're talking to Adam Turnoff from Right Angle Sports, all things NFL. For RAS Picks. Friday, we have a game as well. I don't want to gloss over the game in Brazil. Obviously, this is a first. We've had international games before. Don't think we've had one in Brazil off the top of my head. It does feel like after the Eagles get out to three, there's definitely been some resistance at three, and it's now, I believe, consensus market-wide, Eagles minus two. Do you agree with the move here on Packers plus three and plus two and a half, Adam?
I don't have a strong opinion on the side. I would say that the move makes sense when you're thinking about this being a neutral field game. Obviously, in Brazil, you get to a three-point spread and a team that looked as good as they did finishing the year last year in the Packers. I think that was probably inevitable to draw money, and it certainly did. And we probably see more Packers money come in just because of the popularity they carry as we get closer to game time. What I would say interests me and what I would agree with more so would be the move on the total, which went up from 48.5 to 49. I see a lot of 49s right now on the screen, even 49.5. I would still think this game has the potential to go over, and I would like the over here at anything better than 51. You have two new defensive coordinators taking on great offenses here, and both of these offenses are set up very well, whether it's the Packers using multiple wide receivers against a very young Eagles secondary, trying to get things right early under Fangio, or the Eagles facing Jeff Hafley, who's making his debut after coming up from the college ranks as defensive coordinator for the Packers. That's a massive scheme shift for Green Bay and what they ran with Joe Barry. And it's also something that if Hafley employs what we think he's going to do coming up from college, a lot of press coverage, a lot of cover one, those are two things the Eagles and this offense really excel against. So I see paths to success for both offenses in a pretty big way.
There you go. I like it. So it's something you could maybe work with that in terms of the over. One of the more intriguing games on Sunday, which I feel like should not be a noon kick. It should be a primetime game. Texans-Colts. And
I thought you were going to say Saints-Panthers.
No. That's a big one for RAS reasons. But no, that's going to be on maybe the ninth TV based on those two teams' scoring history. But Texans-Colts. Colts are plus three, which is quite interesting. There's been a move on the Texans here. The Colts were plus two when RAS played them in weeks 18 last year with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. And it easily could have been a Colts victory outright if not for a third-string running back dropping a very catchable ball on fourth down. And so now we get to week one. Anthony Richardson is in. He looked great in his one scripted drive in the preseason there in that game against Cincinnati. And now the Colts are three? They're a point worse? Can you help me understand this, Adam?
Houston's a very popular team. Everybody wants a piece of the Texans, and that's pushing the number out to where it is now. And I don't fully agree with that, with the Colts getting this many at home. 2.5 minus even money, or you can look at 3 plus 120. I think a fair price to look at this game at the moment would be 2.5 even money in favor of the Colts. I think they're going to have a ton of options to run the football against this Texans defense, which their biggest weakness is defending the run up the middle. And yep, it's been something that D'Amico Ryans has talked about a lot this offseason. He's got very touchy and defensive when pressed on it because he knows it's an issue. And this is just a bad matchup for them. And so if the Colts can exploit that with Richardson and Taylor on the field, really for the first time together, because last season he only played a handful of snaps. Plenty of opportunity for the Colts to control the game, run the football. If that front seven for them can win with some pressure, I think the Colts keep this very competitive and have a good chance to win. So I like Indy in this one getting 2.5.
I've got an old friend who used to take advantage of my Bears fandom, and he'd just kill me. I'd give him points, my Bears would lose, and maybe he senses an opportunity come around this year with my sort of investment and excitement about the Bears. And he said that, "Hey, you giving out 4?" And I think it's down to 3.5 right now. Bears and Titans. I'm just curious, Adam, would I be smart to do it, or should I let this? You know, is this guy to be taking advantage of me this weekend if I give him the 3.5?
So you're giving in the 3.5 points.
That's what he's asking for. Well, he's asking for 4, but
Well, you can't give him 4. You can't give him 4.
If you tell me 3.5, I mean, I would, you know.
3.5. It's 3.5.
I'll tell him it has to be 3.5.
Boy, I tell you, you might want to maybe misread or forget to read the text messages for a few days. Maybe start this off in week 2, because this might be a tough start for Chicago. Like, it's a big number for a rookie quarterback making his debut to be laying at home against the Titans team that I think is a little bit underrated relative to what we can probably expect from the offense.
Yeah.
I'm not really optimistic on the Titans season long, but in this spot, I mean, I kind of like what we saw from them in preseason with the scoring drives and how the offense looks and what Callahan can lead here. I have to like Tennessee in this one. I think it's a really big number for a rookie QB making his debut to be laying here.
I'm laying out. He will not take advantage of me this year. Yeah.
So you're not going to give it to him?
No, because I'm the same as Adam. I saw too much competence in the preseason from Tennessee. More than I expected. I saw an offense that was moving the ball pretty good.
Yeah.
Pollard scored in the red zone. And I just know I'm not feeling overly foxy in terms of giving folks points. No, Adam, I'm going to follow your advice. I'm not going to let him take advantage of it.
But keep the conversation going, because next week could be interesting. If you get the Colts winning at home and have the Tennessee Titans playing a little bit of competitive football, we might see right now in the look ahead, Houston Sunday Night Football hosting the Bears 3.5. We just talked about how bad Daniel Jones looked going into Houston. If you get an 0-1 Texans team at home hosting this Bears offense, that's a pretty good spot to be in.
I have two more games I want to ask you about, Adam.
Thank you. Please.
One of them involves my favorite team, and one of them involves your favorite team. We've had to basically restrain Ed from firing and releasing Chargers -3. It's been a 2-week long process. He's loved this, and it's not just Ed, by the way. But Chargers -3 has been a very popular side inside the RAS circle, and it's just sitting there and it's singing to me. And you are on the record for not buying it. Maybe that was at 3.5, less so at 3. But I'm curious, what is your hesitation about the Chargers this season?
My hesitation about the Chargers in week one is that they have nobody on offense. It is going to be a Justin Herbert-led offense surrounded by a lot of big bodies on the offensive line, but no playmakers outside. I don't know what the passing game for the Chargers is going to look like, especially even more so if DJ Chark, who was slotted in to be wide receiver number one, is unable to go. He's not practicing at the moment. And so I can see a situation where the Chargers come into the game wanting to run the football. I can see that every single week. The Raiders' run defense is quite underrated, in my opinion. And so if it's not working early and you don't have wide receivers out wide and you're relying on Ladd McConkey as a wide receiver number one stepping in as a rookie in his debut, and that's your best option in the passing game, that worries me against anyone in the league when you're laying points. And so that's my biggest hesitation, is there's just nobody out there for the Chargers.
Yeah, it's definitely a concern. It is, but it's Gardner Minshew, man. You know, it's Gardner Minshew.
That's worrisome in its own right.
It's Gardner Minshew without the babysitting of Shane Steichen specifically.
Correct.
We're going to find out that he was hidden like a wizard by Shane Steichen. It may not be week one, but we're going to find that out. And then lastly, it felt like all summer, I mean, just money pouring in on your Jets. Aaron Rodgers might be his last game back home against the 49ers. I mean, you got 49ers players holding out. You got 49ers players getting shot. And all of the money is pouring in on the Jets. And I guess Trent Williams' deal gets done, and you're seeing that number sort of creep back out to 4.5. Does the number feel right to you? Is there maybe a play to make on the Jets? What's just your evaluation of this game?
It feels right. I don't think there's a play to be made on the Jets, and I can't find any interest in the total either. It's a fascinating game to talk about. I don't think it's a great game for betting at the moment. Now, the reason the number came in, as you mentioned, is it went from 6 to 4.5 because of all the uncertainty and the injuries and everything that the Niners are dealing with that goes beyond just Williams and Ayuk and getting those deals done. On the defensive side of the football, multiple guys on the defensive line got hurt in the Raiders game. Their status is very uncertain. We still don't know if Hufanga is going to be able to be out there. Obviously, Dre Greenlaw is not going to be starting. So it's a defense that really struggled to defend the run last year, that is now missing key pieces up front, that is not going to be able to defend the run this year. And the Jets are just going to try and make this as ugly of a game as possible, running the football, controlling the game on the ground. And it's going to be a really tight and competitive game with so much emphasis on this for the Jets to win, given that if they get through this with a win, they could have a very good chance to be the last undefeated team in football. Their next 7 weeks are just layups and winnable games all over the place. And so the importance of this to the Jets is enormous. I think the Niners, the kids nowadays say vibes. I don't get good vibes around the Niners team, especially on the defensive side. But boy, at 4.5, I sure think we're in the right neighborhood for this number. So it's a pass for me, unfortunately. But if the Jets can get things going on the ground, I think they have a chance to keep this competitive late in the fourth quarter.
Adam, great stuff as always, my friend.
Thank you so much, brother.
Week one regular season with you. Yep. We'll see you soon, man. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you very much, guys. Enjoy the games this week.
He is Adam Chernoff from Right Angle Sports. Yeah, there's some interesting games. There's some interesting places where I could maybe see myself getting involved on the sides. Chargers definitely might be one. Colts out to 3. There, you know, there's a trend about divisional dogs in week one, right? Home divisional dogs in week one, that's very profitable. If you just take the home divisional dog, you're just going to make money, right, against the number.
Yeah.
And 3, when they were plus two last year in that final game to decide the division, and it came down to, you know what I'm saying, the drop pass mm-hmm. from Gardner Minshew. Now I get Anthony Richardson, you know? I mean, that's got to be worth more. Certainly, it's not a negative. I know they add Stephon Diggs. I get that. So I'll upgrade them. But, like, let's be honest. The Texans didn't need Stephon Diggs to be in a great passing attack. They already had Tank Dell, Nico Collins,
who for 4,100 without him last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, he adds to that. But is it a point? Is it more than what Anthony Richardson adds to the Colts by his being out there? I would think absolutely not. So I don't know. I mean, I must be missing something with this number. Because Taylor has also owned the Texans. Like, he's run all over them when he's been out there. And now you put him in RPO stuff with Richardson, like, that could be kind of deadly. But I got to be missing something, because this just doesn't make sense to me. I know the Texans are good. I'm high on them. But this just feels like it should be a pick. Anyway, good stuff there from Adam Chernoff. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Leaders Credit Union is a not-for-profit financial institution fully owned by members, operates for your benefit, not like a bank which operates just for its own. It's not trying to help you in the way that Leaders is. They've got better technology than banks as well. Check out their new financial wellness tool. It's inside their online banking and mobile app. You'll absolutely love it. Can help you oversee your credit score, your credit report, give you suggestions on how to prove that. They're in the community here in Memphis, having awarded 10 scholarships here locally, one including to a Moore Tech student, welding student, to help him through get his education as well. They were also one of the Pro-Am sponsors this summer of the Shelby County Pro-Am. So they're investing in Memphis, like I like to say. Go check out their website, leaderscu.com/ESPN. You use that promo code, they're going to waive the membership fee, making it even more worth your while. We just opened a Future Leader Savings Account for young Christopher. You get bonuses as you watch your money grow, 5% APY, but also bonuses for perfect attendance and straight A's. So we're trying to show Chris how you can make your money grow on your own, and we're doing that through Leaders. They're federally insured by NCUA, and Leaders is your financial champion.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!